welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. Boy, it's going to be an exciting show, and I'm going to be talking about something very near and dear to my heart, which is intuition. I'm going to be looking at it both from what I call the scientific aspect of it and the art aspect of it. And the scientific part, we're going to be actually mapping it and talking about it in the brain so we can debunk some of those myths we have around intuition. And then also, I'm going to be talking about the art of it, meaning the different ways that you can use your intuition to be able to help you understand what's going on in your life and open up that world of endless possibilities. The first thing I want to ask is, I want to start out by asking you some questions. Do you know how your intuition talks to you? That's very important. I'm going to be talking about that in the second segment. Does it talk to you through those physical sensations such as goosebumps or those shudders that you get running throughout your body? What about those flashes of insight? I call those the aha moments. What about gut instincts? You know, we really do have a second brain with within our body, other than what's in the cranial cavity of our head. That second brain mirrors instinctively, chemically, what goes on in the brain. That's the gut instinct, and that's literally in the third chakra, and that's in the solar plex area. It's tied to the adrenals, and it's tied to the activities of the adrenals, the fight or flight. I'm going to be talking about how do you know when it's your intuition talking and it's wishful thinking, or how do you know when to trust your intuition? So those are some of the questions that I'm going to be answering today. But now the last question for you is, do you depend on your intuition for everything, or do you just mentally selectively use it when you get stuck, when you can't make a decision? How you answer that question is going to have a lot of impact on how freely you're able to access the information that it brings forward and how effective you are at trusting it. So it should be an interesting show, a little bit more about gut instinct, brain mapping, personality. So it should be very, very exciting. You know, I always find it very interesting when I'm talking to people about intuition, their response to the topic of conversation. Some people are really comfortable with it. And they acknowledge that they're intuitive, and they acknowledge that they use it for everything. It's just so second nature and instinctive in them. So it's not like I'm actually talking about something that's way out there in la-la land. Then there's other people who actually believe that everyone else is intuitive, but not them. I'm sure that you've met some of those. And then there's some people who even think that being intuitive is tied to this kind of psychic phenomena that happens where all of a sudden it's like you get this inner message or this inner voice or this epiphany or this vision in your head, and all of a sudden it's like you've become possessed. And that intuition and how it maps in your brain and what it causes you to do is really a flaw rather than being something that is really good. So again, a lot of varying perspectives. And then when I come in, and the last thing I absolutely love about intuition, I will say to people, do you use your intuition? They said, well, no, I used to, but I don't anymore. And the reason I don't is it just seems like all it did was just tell me about all the bad things that were going to happen in my life. It never, you know, told me I was going to win the lottery or I was going to get a pay raise or I was going to get a new job. It was just always on that kind of hyper-vigilant alert alarm that created all that stress in me. So people actually can, and we can consciously try to shut it down, but the fallacy of that is it never shuts down. So that's again something else that I want to talk about. I am going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me and you want to talk about intuition or you want to use my medical intuition to be able to help understand what's going on in your body, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's in the U.S. and Canada. I'm looking forward to talking to you and answering your questions. You know, if someone had actually said to me prior to my near-death experience, Carol, you were going to make your living being an intuitive, frankly, I would have not only looked at them like they had grown an extra head, but I would have actually run away from them. It would have frightened me because my background and my education in personality behavioral psychology and my religious background, being I was raised Catholic, and that's nothing against being Catholic. It has a lot of benefits, but it doesn't really embrace this intuitiveness that we have. If anybody had told me that I was going to be doing this at this time in my life, I really wouldn't have known anything about it. I would have been very strong in my reaction from the standpoint, as other people have said, listen, other people are intuitive, but not me. So I share that with you because there is a cosmic sense of humor out there, that basically comes in and says, you know, never get so sure of what you can't do. And then there's always possibilities of what you can do. That really is the gift of your intuition. Well, I want to start out by going in and kind of what I talk about, debunking some of the beliefs around intuition. Intuition is something that is buried deep within each of us. It's not only in our brain, it's in that second brain in the gut that I talked about, but also it's an instinctive response we have. It's not a reaction that we have, but it's an instinctive response that really is tied to our heart. We have this head and heart phenomena that we as humans get so caught up in this, the way that we're conditioned. Do we follow our head or do we follow our heart? And we look at them as being really two separate aspects of our being. Yes, anatomically they are. They're not located in the same spot, but energetically they're exactly one and the same. So your intuition is a heartfelt awareness that allows you to see beyond the obvious. So let me start in. First of all, intuition isn't selective when it allows us to tap into it. It is something that is there all the time. It is something that is active. The only difference is it flies under the radar of the conscious mind, meaning that it really, the intuition looks for patterns of behavior or patterns or similar situations or activities so it can connect the dots. So the first thing is, it isn't selective. It's always there. You may be consciously selective of when you're going to engage with it, meaning when you're going to be aware of its presence, or even more importantly, consciously making a decision when you're going to activate it or when you're going to trust it. There's another fallacy in the thinking around intuition, that it's only right hemisphere of the brain that's capable of being intuitive. The reality is that intuition is an integral part of every decision that we make, whether you're making it from your right hemisphere or your left hemisphere of the brain, and that the insights and the activities of intuition actually not only are in both of the hemispheres, but they're in the different lobes of the brain. The brain is basically, as we know, two hemispheres. The right hemisphere of the brain is more visual. It's more kinesthetic, meaning that it looks for the patterns. It's associated with our physical reality or senses of touch. It uses symbology. It looks at the underlying nonverbal clues of what's going on. The left hemisphere is what you see is what you get. Everything is black and white. Right hemisphere is gray. Left hemisphere is words. If you don't see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, smell it, it's not real. So again, when we look at intuition, it's in both sides of the brain. It's just that in the left brain, we call it common sense. In the right brain, we call it intuition. Also, our intuition is very much a part of how we gather information. Now, there are some personalities, and if you're not familiar with my personality work, I certainly encourage you to go to hayhouse.com. I have a variety of books, What Colors Your Personality, just being released into paperback. Cutest darn little thing there is, all four color. Fun to touch, fun to look at. And then also Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, and Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do with It. And then my first book, Your Personality, Your Health. And what that's in the books, what it does is it has a personality assessment that it can allow you to go through a series of statements and to allow your brain to determine how you gather information and make decisions. So when it comes to the gathering information, we gather that information through the physical senses, but we also gather information from what I call vibe mail. That's that part that we just kind of know, but we don't know how we know. But it's really very sequential and logical. It's just that it flies under the radar of the left brain. but we're always using both aspects to gather information. Now, our neurology may say that, no, you're only going to trust that vibe mail, or you're only going to trust those physical senses, but you're always intuitively using both. When it comes to decision making, we make decisions very, very randomly, meaning that we can make decisions logically or we can make them emotionally, meaning they feel right. We are hardwired that way, but we can always move out of that hardwire to randomly use the other side of the brain or the decision making in order to get us where we need to go, meaning that we can maybe neurologically make decisions logically, but we can actually go in and use that that emotional part of the brain to support what we know logically. In reverse, if what you do is you make decisions based on emotion, you can go to your logic to be able to support what you emotionally, what emotionally feels right. So again, the fallacy that intuition's only one part of the brain, only one little minor segment of the brain is not true. It is something that is instinctive. It's as a part of our thinking as we're consciously aware of. The other fallacy is that the job of intuition is to alarm us, but not to alert us. There goes back to what I started out the show by saying. Some people say, you know, I just decide I'm not going to trust my intuition or use it because all it does is tell me everything that's going to be bad in my life. So, but what intuition is designed to do, it is designed to be a heightened state of awareness using both your gut brain and your brain and your heart emotionally to be able to come in and to alert you as to where you want to go. Now, yes, it will tell you when you're in going to be putting yourself in harm's way. I mean, for example, you wouldn't walk down a dark alley at 1 o'clock at night with no one around and be in a position where you would put yourself vulnerable if you knew that in that particular area of the city that there was a lot of crime. I mean, that's good old common sense. It's also intuition. Intuition would be heightened awareness. So you could be walking down the street. You go to turn in the alley. All of a sudden your intuition says this is not a good place for you to be. And then it'll go and it'll pull up something that has a strong emotional charge to support that. So again, it isn't to alarm, but it's just that good old common sense. So what you can do is you can go in and you can use it for being able to kind of have that heightened awareness. Intuition isn't wishful thinking. This is something I'm asked all the time. How do I know when it's wishful thinking and intuition? Wishful thinking is really what I call reality-based. What it is it goes in and it looks at what is familiar. Wishful thinking is the part that says, well, it didn't work before, so why do you think it's going to work now? But you can hope it's going to work. And wishful thinking has a lot more to do with the conscious mind avoiding making a decision. And then, or you get so overwhelmed with all the facts and all the details, all of a sudden you've got wishful thinking. Boy, I wish I would win the lottery. Well, an intuition would say to you, well, if you want to win the lottery, you need to buy a ticket. But the conscious mind says, I just need extra money, so I wish I would win the lottery. So again, they look at it differently. Intuition is what I call possibility-based reality. It looks at all of the opportunities around the situations that you're experiencing in your life. Tremendous abilities and tremendous opportunities it can offer you now, especially in the changes that are happening so quickly around us and to us, that if we rely only on what's familiar, only what's untried and true, only what's worked before, we won't be able to see how we can move beyond our current situation. That's the value of intuition. Intuition wants you to engage in life. It wants you to be able to really come in and be able to look at bigger things, more expansive, endless possibilities. Now, you sometimes, if you're kind of in that funky state where you just can't seem to get out of your way, your intuition comes in and says, oh, by the way, here's an opportunity. You're most likely not going to be as receptive to begin with. But if you can just stay with it long enough, then your intuition can be heard in a way or give you insight in a way that you can see that you are not stuck in your life. You're just stuck in thoughts that could be able to give you a different reality. Another fallacy that we have is some people are more intuitive than others. Again, not true. We're all intuitive. The difference is some people rely on it. Others choose to not rely on it. Again, no judgment with that. It's all about timing. But every one of us is intuitive. I started out by saying if anybody had ever told me I would earn my living as an intuitive, I would have run away from them. Now, it is such an integral part of who I am that I can actually go in. I can't turn it off, but I can choose consciously as to when I'm going to use it for my medical intuition work or when I need to just turn it down probably and then go to my left brain and say, okay, my scientist needs to know the facts. It needs to know what has worked. It needs to look at the past. It's a wonderful process that you can literally bounce from one hemisphere to the other and become whole brain thinking just by understanding intuition. We really are two minds, that the mind that's familiar mind, that's deliberate, sequential, methodical, and rational. It requires a conscious effort for us to think and to engage. It evaluates and reacts to thoughts. It sees things for what they are, and it looks at every situation and all data that we gather through our physical senses or vibe mails. It breaks it down into bite-sized pieces. The intuitive mind is fast, random, automatic, effortless, and is always active. It flies under that radar. It evaluates and reacts to emotions. Very important. The difference between left hemisphere and right hemisphere. One is thoughts, the other is emotions. If you don't have emotions to thoughts, you don't know whether they have any value to you. If you don't have emotions, you can't discern the thoughts to think different thoughts. You see, it's just all interwoven. A common question that I'm asking, I ask all the time is, when do I know to trust my intuition? This is a biggie. So, deep breath. How do you know when it's wishful thinking or your mind, left mind, familiar mind, trying to convince you to do something that your gut is telling you not to do? So when the decision that you're making creates anxiety and causes your mind to spin out of control and you become mentally immobilized or paralyzed to the point that all you can hear is the same thoughts, all you can hear is the same thing over and over and over as to why you should not be following your intuition, that's when you want to. The decision that you're looking at creates an excitement and you really want to take it to the next step and you want to explore the opportunities and look at the possibilities and look at the decision holistically, then it's your intuition telling you that the direction and the decision you're contemplating is the right one for you. So really the barometer of whether it's intuition or it's not, meaning it's the mind trying to convince you, is literally your emotions and how those emotions are causing your body to react. For example, if you go into fight or flight and you've made a decision and it's wrong for you, it's gone against your neurology, your intuition has been telling you, okay, whoops, stop, let's put the brakes on, let's look at something different. You're in fight or flight and you're like a cat on a hot tin roof. What you need to do is take a deep breath and stop. Don't make the decision. And then just allow it to percolate, as I call it, and then come in and allow that intuition to come in and say, you know what? It might be the right decision, but you know, maybe you should look at this. Maybe you should consider that. Did you look at how this is going to impact you way down the road versus what's right now? So again, very, very much a part of who we are. It isn't something that we turn on, we turn off. It isn't that some people are more intuitive than others. Yes, some may develop it and use it more than others, but it's something that we all have. So very exciting. Okay, let's jump in, and I'm going to talk about more of this in the second segment on what you can do to actually develop your intuition, if that's something that you feel like you need to. But I want to jump right in, and I'd like to talk to Carrie from Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Carrie, line one.
Hi, Carol. I absolutely love you. So I just wanted to say that before I even start talking to you. Absolutely adore you.
Well, thank you. What a great way to start the show. Okay, so let's see. So I'm going to need to send a vibe mail out to you to call you vibe mail every time before I start a show. And I'm going to say, so, Carrie, how am I today?
Oh, I'm always going to say you're wonderful and fabulous.
Thanks. How can I help you?
I am very, very concerned about my boyfriend. He suffers from pretty chronic anxiety and depression, but he's also very, very lethargic, has very little energy, and he's also suffering from, he's not sleeping well at night at all. He went to the doctor, and they said that, they did a blood test, and they said, today they called in and said that he has a vitamin D deficiency and that his white blood cell count is high. But I just wanted your take on it. He's not sleeping through the night. He just doesn't have any energy. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do, Carrie, is I'm going to use you as what I call a surrogate. So what that means is I will be able to go in as much in his field as you and he will allow me to.
Okay.
So let's go in. The first thing with it is that what he has is he has genetic predisposition to different neurotransmitter deficiencies. That's the first thing. That's why the depression part of it. He actually is clinically depressed. And what I mean by that is there's a chemical change in his body that his body can't remember how to get itself back to feeling good or being optimistic or being able to look at situations differently. So we've got that chemical imbalance. That chemical imbalance is between serotonin, dopamine. It also is impacted by melatonin. It is impacted by DHEA, and it is impacted by the vitamin D, both 1 and 3. And whenever someone gets into that clinical depression state with these kind of neurotransmitter hormonal deficiencies, the brain can't tell what's going on as to whether it's positive or negative. Is it something that they should be afraid of or not? Is it good? Is it bad? The brain basically becomes so chemically out of balance that it can't discern what is happening outside, nor can it discern what's happening inside. Whenever that melatonin dynamic and the DHEA and the dopamine serotonin imbalance gets out of whack, it affects the pituitary. The pituitary affects the thyroid. His thyroid is just ready to fall off the scale. My sense is they told him that it probably is okay. I do believe, and I understand what the doctors are doing, it is okay. There's nothing they can do, but his thyroid is low. The vitamin D deficiency is letting him know two things. One is it's letting him know that he has an inflammation. And actually, honey, he feels like he's got a low-grade infection that is in his body. And he's actually had this for probably 6 to 8 weeks. If you go back 6 to 8 weeks, he didn't feel, it's almost like he just didn't feel like himself one day. I don't know how to say it other than that. He just didn't have the energy. He didn't want to get out of bed. He just, his body felt heavy. And so that was the first indicator of the infection, the low-grade infection. My sense is that's why his white blood count is up. And what it's doing is it's causing the body, the immune system, to have to go around and go, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Do we have a major problem? Is this just a little minor skirmish? Is this viral? Is this bacterial? What is going on? It is actually a bacterial low-grade infection that he has. And so that's causing him to have some energy loss. The other part of it is with the low thyroid of what it is, that's affecting his sleep. Take that and add it to melatonin, DHEA, serotonin, dopamine. We have kind of the perfect storm that's happening in his body that's causing his body to feel overwhelmed and fatigued. And it's difficult for it, the immune system, to be able to go in and discern what it needs to do. So there's a couple of things is that if he gets a chance to talk to the doctor, for some reason it feels like it would be worthwhile for him to go on a dosage of antibiotics. And when he does that, if that's something he chooses to do or the doctor chooses to do, it doesn't have to be something like a Zithromax that's, you know, the big guns, but it just feels like it just needs to get in and there's a bacterial imbalance that's taking place. It could be anything from amoxicillin, It almost feels like even a Cipro would be able to help because I can find it in kind of the kidney bladder area. So I've got some urinary tract, some digestive tract. Cipro's good for that. So what I would do is have him see if that's an option. And my sense is what it'll do is it will help him get back to feeling better physically. It'll take his immune system out of that crisis intervention that it's in right now. And then as a result, then he'll start feeling like himself. Okay. The other thing is, I don't know how open he is because I keep hitting a brick wall. I've been poking at him through you, sweetie. But there feels like there's this perception that if he acknowledges that he's depressed and he does anything about the depression, somehow he's weak. And if you can share with him in any way, in fact, I just did a teleclass last month on depression. Yep. And if you could get him to look at being open enough to either doing SAMI or St. John's Wort, but more importantly, to talk to someone about getting on a mild depression medication where he is
right now.
You know
what? He is on medication right now. I mean, they've got him on, like, taking Clonopin and taking, like, he's taking a med 3 times a day. And he says when he takes it makes him sleepy, the medication.
Yeah. Well, it does. And now let me tell you two things. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was on meds. So let me tell you what that always means to me. It means what he's taking is not working for him.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that the doctors are bad or anything. It's just not giving him what he needs. The fact that it's making him sleepy isn't what antidepressants are supposed to do. Yes, they will make you non-emotionally reactive, but the sleepiness is an indicator that maybe we've got some meds that aren't working with each other and maybe we need to revisit it. And that's what it's feeling like to me, is that he needs to go back and revisit it. The other thing is look at his history. His body never reacts well to anything that isn't natural. If you can go back and you talk to him, anything that he's done that is done naturally, whether it's cleanses or whether it's changing his diet or it's boosting his immune system or whatever he's doing, as natural as it can be, the more his body loves it. So when you start loading him up with all these things that aren't natural, his body isn't going to know what to do with it. So that's another conversation to have with him and have him just see, is he open to go and see, are antibiotics appropriate for what's going on? Because his white blood count is high. That says that there's something the immune system has identified is not normal within his body. So that is that's an obvious request. The other thing is revisit his depression medication and see if there's something that could be done.
Oh, my gosh. Carol, I just absolutely love you. When he told me about this today, I was like, I have to call Carol. She is the only one who can give me the answers I need.
Oh, well, thank
Carol.
You. Well, thank you so much. And you know what? Thank him for being so open and kind and receptive to me poking at him. And then the other part of it is, honey, I can feel in you that your mind, I say this with great love, your mind is so spinning on all these things that could be wrong. And if you can just take it in bite-sized pieces and look at it in those pieces, then you're not going to worry as much. And then I won't be doing a call on you, Carrie, saying, oh, honey, we need to get rid of that worry. Okay, well, light and love to you. And, you go to my website, pop me an email, let me know how it all goes.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Okay, I'm going to jump back into calls in just a moment, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to go ahead and take a quick break. I'll be back in just a short period of time, pick up intuition, and we can go from there. And how are we going to work with that and develop that? So please stay tuned.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Oh, well, welcome back, and thanks for joining me. If you are just joining me, I have a very exciting topic today called intuition, looking at it both from the scientific aspect, meaning we are neurologically wired in our brain and in our second brain, our gut brain, to be intuitive, and then looking at it from an art form perspective, meaning that we can actually develop it. Intuition is like a muscle. We have to use it. We have to be consciously aware of when we're using it and to know and recognize and acknowledge it. We're always using it. And when we know that we're using it and we consciously make a decision, we can actually develop it. It's kind of like doing a mental workout for intuition. So that's what I'm talking about. I also am taking your calls. So if you have a call for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. I have another teleclass, a Your Health teleclass, that's coming up on June 25th at 5 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. And then it's also 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the topic of this next month, this June's topic, is going to be on fibromyalgia. You know, fibromyalgia is a very interesting, mysterious ailment. The people who have it know that there's something wrong with them, physically wrong with them, because they hurt so much they can't get up, or it's hurt so much to move their muscles. But the doctors, when they go and talk to doctors, doctors don't always agree on what fibromyalgia is. And more importantly, they don't agree on how to be able to treat it. So what I'm going to be doing on this Your Health teleclass on the 25th of June, I'm going to be talking about fibromyalgia and sharing not only that traditional conventional perspective or general description of it, but I'm going to be looking at some of the psychological hidden contributors, how I see it in the energy field. I always hope the value of doing that is so I can give you a visual portrayal of what it looks like. So when you can go in, you can change that picture that I see of fibromyalgia or diabetes or depression in the body. And then you can use your visualization skills in order to be able to do that. I also map it through the chakras. The interesting thing is that fibromyalgia in many cases is seen as being more of a second chakra human emotion illness and a problem. And that's kind of where it starts energetically. But the reality is fibromyalgia is an autoimmune disorder. It starts in the third chakra, and fibromyalgia is tied to our self-confidence and how much personal power we believe that we have in our life and over the control of our life. So those are the types of things I'm going to be sharing in the teleclass. If you would like to join me on June 25th at 5 o'clock, again, Pacific Daylight Time, that's PM, or 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, again PM, you can register online at my website at www.ritberger.com. Now, if for any reason you can't make the teleclass, I would like to tell you that the day after the teleclass, we have a printable PDF, a full write-up. The one I just did on depression is 20 pages long, a full write-up that you can print out, put in a binder, and be able to keep as a resource guide or a reference guide. And then also a couple days after that, there'll be the full audio download of the teleclass itself. So if you can't join me, you do have options. There is a cost, of course, for both of those, as there is for the teleclass. But I hope that, if it's something that you're suffering from or you know someone that's suffering from fibromyalgia, then you can be of service to them or you will invite them to it. So again, I hope that you can join me. They're a lot of fun and a lot of different perspectives on being able to work with how we can deal with illness. And when I say that, how can we really look at the healing process versus just putting a Band-Aid on the boo-boo, which was what I call the curing process. So very quickly, I'm going to go back to calls in just a moment, but very quickly, I just want to tell you that your intuition is, again, instinctive. It is very powerful, and it is extremely wise. And the reason I say that is intuition doesn't rely on what you read in books or what you experience in your life. That really is that deep inner wisdom, that deep inner guide that we each have within us that basically can bring this wisdom forward, marry it with what we have acquired and what we've learned and what we've experienced. And then the result is that now we get a holistic perspective of the information and a holistic perspective of the decisions that we are looking at making and considering. Now, the interesting thing is the mind, that familiar mind, as I call it, only sees the decision that's in front of you. It only sees the problem that's in front of you. Intuition is seeing the problem not only that's in front of you, but it's seeing the potential of the problems that will happen in front of you in the future if the decision you make doesn't allow you to integrate your intuition into it. So very, very interesting. I'm going to take a call and then I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about it and give you some ideas of what you can do to develop your intuition. Let's go ahead to Joel from New Jersey. Hello, Joel.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I am very good. How can I help you?
I just want to say hello to, I had you do a reading on me in July, and I thank you a lot for that.
My pleasure.
My question has to do with my third eye chakra. Like, it seems to have been activated a lot more often recently. I was wondering if you can give a little more insight into what's going on.
I can. Let me first of all kind of approach it anatomically. The third eye that we find we refer to as the third eye of intuition, the third eye of the soul, is literally in the brow area just above your eyebrows. You actually have something in the anatomical design of your brain called prefrontal lobes. These prefrontal lobes aren't aware of what is happening through the five physical senses. They're reading energy. They're looking at all those nonverbal clues. They're looking at the emotional reactions outside and inside. So those prefrontal lobes are tied to the third eye. That third eye is what's tied to that second gut brain that is basically in that third chakra around personal power and self-confidence. In fact, if I went in and could anatomically dissect what those prefrontal lobes would look like, they actually look like the kidneys. That would be the brain. That's the right-left hemisphere. And those prefrontal lobes would be the adrenals that are sitting right on top of it. So from the standpoint of you, Joel, opening up your third eye using your intuition, there's a couple of ways to say that. Your awareness has been heightened to the point where you see things that were there before, but now you're seeing them. You're looking for patterns. You feel like, hon, at this decision kind of crossroads. And I say it's not a fork in the road, it's a crossroads. Whatever decision you're working on right now, there's four different ways for you to look at that decision. You can look at it through your common sense and use your past to see if this is the right decision. You can look at it through the right brain to see if it is going to give you what you desire in the future. Will it free you and create the liberation that you're looking for from where you are? The other part of it is that, is it the logical decision? Meaning, have you dotted your I's and crossed your T's? Have you looked at everything? And then the other part of it is, the most important part for you is, and what brings it all together is asking yourself, does this feel right? When I touch you, Joel, if there's anything that I say, honey, the most important thing for you to do is to follow your heart. Anytime your heart tells you this is not where you need to be. This is not the decision you should make. No matter how much people are influencing you, no matter how much your logic is trying to tell you that this is crazy, you're not going to do it, no matter how much your past is going to try to condition you to do it, honey, if you don't follow your heart, it's going to be wrong for you. My sense is the reason that your intuition is so heightened at this time is because of all the change that's going on, the decision that I keep picking up that really is going to be really life-altering, hon. This isn't one of those little decisions you make up. You wake up every day and you decide what you're going to have for breakfast or for lunch. This decision that you're looking at right now is tied to how do you bring your authentic true self into expression to create not only the quality of life from the standpoint of health, but for money. It's a big decision. It's kind of like graduating from high school. I kept picking up with you. So trust that intuition. Trust your heart. Look at all the possibilities. Gather all the information. Then go still. Be quiet in your mind. Weigh everything. And then the decision that you're about to make that's going to change your life is really going to be the right decision for you.
Because I've been having a tough time because it has to do with music and me wanting to continue doing that as a career. And, I mean, I'm obviously still in the beginning stages because, you know, I've just started trying to work on it. But I've just been hitting like a brick wall trying to do my work here at home. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I just feel, you know, very, I can't do it at home. It's like the energy here is not inspiring.
Yeah.
And you know, at the same time, you know, I do need to find a job because right now I'm unemployed and
right.
I would like to work because it's just, you know, for me, it's boring. Like, I can't be at home and not do anything.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the one thing that I've been looking at is seeing if maybe I can, you know, be an academic counselor for somebody because I feel like when I look at my intuition, I write down all the things that I can do, at least in the immediate future. You know, that I know I can contribute and make a difference in the world. And that was something that felt, you know, maybe I should go for that right now.
Again, that's where you are in this, you know, where paths are crossing is that, you know, we talked about this. You do have wonderful wisdom within you and skills within you to be able to help other people. So what you might want to do is go and explore that and look at what's involved and then use your music as an avocation, meaning that it's a area that you don't have to rely on it right away to be able to give you the money. Because when we had talked, you know, you are in that, in your humanness, you're in that beginning stage, in the wisdom of that sage that I have inside. My gosh, honey, you're already there. But how do we balance the two? So you could look at your music as being your avocation, something that you do while you're doing this other part. That's part of that decision matrix. The other thing is that you could go and you could get a job in a music studio or in a music store or something that would put you in the environment that would give you the place to be able to, you know, write, be inspired, be able to play your music the way you want to. So there's options there. Or what you could do is if you had enough energy is that you could pursue one in the education and support it with a music store and then do your music. See, that's where you are. Look at all the possibilities, Joel. That'll help you a lot.
Okay. All right. I will try that. Sure.
Well, good, good. I still get that music around you, hon. One of these days you and I are going to just kind of get together and I'll bring my guitar and we're just going to jam. How about that?
We're going to have to do that.
Sounds great to me. All right. Let's jump in. It's a pleasure. Hi, Gail from North Carolina. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I am so excited that you answered my call. I am so honored. I love you dearly. I was so hoping that you were going to answer me.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this clock and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we're beginning to run out of time. But you know what? It's just my intuition said, you need to talk to Gail. So how can I help you, honey?
Well, first of all, take a deep breath because I'm a heavy smoker and I do believe that a hypnotherapist is going to work for me. So
absolutely.
Just put up a shield or whatever, please.
No
evidently,
way.
That must be how I've
self-medicate my intuition and all these empathic things that go on with me. Basically, Carol, the last 10 years have been pretty tough. Divorce, which I believe that was under contract, pre-birth agreement or something. A child that got addicted to drugs. Plus, I had 4 hurricanes in a row just slam this property and this home that I'm sitting in. I guess it was just some indication of what my insides were doing because it was complete and total devastation. I was just in a mess. Ended up with some major health problems with me physically and the house that I'm in, which it still have not been repaired after all these years. So basically, I'm starting over with everything and was wondering how I was getting along with it and if I think my health has, if you think my health has improved to the point that I'm thinking, or is there some other concern going on there?
Yeah, no, let's go in and let's jump in. I am going to pull out in my office right now a box of gold stars, and I'm going to put a whole bunch of them beside your name.
I'm going to cry.
And the first one, the first reason I'm going to put a gold star is because you are a very courageous soul to take on all of the things that you have and to still be optimistic out at the outcome on the other side. All of us that are listening on the radio, Carol Reitberger included, can learn a lot from you on that. You also brought in a lot of people and situations in your life that shows people what inspiration, what tenacity, what perseverance can do. You know, you started out with the smoking and you said, Carol, put a shield over me. Honey, you know, when I touch you, I don't see you through your smoking. I don't see you through your ailments. I get to touch the soul that just comes in and goes, wow, this is another day, Carol. What are we going to do today? This is the magnificence of who I am. You know what? I deserve that gold star box there, Carol Reitberger. So let's go in. So first of all,
I
through the smoking part
of it. I forgot to tell you, I'm 54, if that matters, my age.
Not at all, because in your heart and your spirit, you're still like that little girl at 6 years old that still believed at that point in time and does right now that if you put your mind to anything, honey, you can do it. And that is true. So let me talk to you about your health.
Okay.
What you've experienced with your health is that you experience what I call a physical breakdown from the mental emotional breakdown that you had.
Right.
Your immune system just basically didn't know what to do with itself. It woke up one day and it goes, I don't remember what I'm supposed to do. You know, am I supposed to protect the body? And, you know, so it's just kind of hanging out by the beach and not doing very much. Then you go in and you take all of the emotion that has been stored within you for so long. And it's that battle of emotion within you that goes in and has created this kind of like a twister, kind of like a turmoil in you. Mm-hmm. So let me go in and tell you, first of all, you are not your mother. Now, your mother wasn't a bad person. You are not your mother. You respond, react, and bounce back differently than your mother did. You do not have a fear of abandonment. You are working very hard on accepting yourself. Your lungs, believe it or not, are in very good condition considering that you're a smoker. Your brain is in a very good condition considering you're a smoker. The only time that you get worried about smoking is when you start getting worried, period. And there's your mother. Your mother, bless her pea picking heart, would just
worry about anything and
everything.
Well, I didn't know if it was my mom or my dad or the both of them because it's just been the last few years that it dawned on me. This is not my stuff I'm carrying.
It's not, honey. And this is, and when you did that, I've got another gold star that just came out. When you realized that, then it changed your body and it started to help it remember what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of things. I would like you to visit your diet. No nag in it. I would like to see you get some more red and green fruits and vegetables in your diet. That's going to help cleanse your liver. It's going to help detox the lymphatic system. It's going to help purify the blood. It's going to strengthen your immune system. So it's something as simple as that. The other thing is we've got the natural changes that are happening because of the age of that golden menopausal time that you're going through. So what you'll want to do is visit your calcium, visit your vitamin D3. Also go in, you might want to look at some curcumin for some inflammation that's going on. That also is genetic from your history and everything. Overall, you're back on the road to repair. There's
wow.
a few little minor things. I mean, you know, it's like your body, honey. You might be 54 years old, but with everything you've been through, you've got about 225,000 miles on your vehicle. And your tires are now up and they've got air in them. You've now changed your oil. This is really good. And you're changing your spark plugs, meaning you're rethinking differently. And
yeah.
you're seeing the things that you've been through from the standpoint of they've helped you grow into somebody better than you were before. So in your body, the only thing I pick up is I really want you to look at your diet. If you look at your diet, you look at the acid alkaline pH balance, you look at reds and greens, you're going to find a difference in how you feel. The other thing is I want you to look at food allergies. You've developed some food allergies in the last 6 months.
Okay.
And that's some of that bloating and some of that, you know, discomfort in the second chakra in that small intestinal area. And that's all it is. So, okay, I hate to cut you off, darling.
Neurobiogenesis.
Oh, my God,
I heard you mention that the other day, and I thought, oh, my goodness, maybe I'm supposed to go along that track.
You know what? You keep on my website. I've been researching this neurological, biological, spiritual aspect for a year and a half, and our results are coming back to say, you know, Carol, it's time for you to go in and jump in. So keep in touch with me on that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much, Gail.
Thanks.
Such a pleasure, sweetie.
Thanks.
Okay, so I want to just end very quickly. What can you do to develop your intuition? Now, remember, that doesn't mean that it isn't developed. It doesn't mean that it's not working. It's instinctive. But you can do something called automatic writing. Take a blank piece of paper, pick up a pen, and just close your eyes and start writing. And what that does is it allows both hemispheres of the brain to be able to work. Also, word association. Write down the word intuition and write down every word you associate with intuition. ESP, vibe mail, gut instinct, heart, anything that you can. And that's going to give your left brain a whole bunch of words to be able to associate with your right brain, with your intuition and all of the intuition in all of your brains. So when you get this flash of insight, your left brain goes in, intuition, let's see, I think I have a file called that with all these different words. Also, something that you can do, it's called writing with the opposite hand. No matter whether you're left-handed or right-handed, just pick up the pen, put it in the opposite hand, and just start writing. Once you get the flow and you stop laughing because you can't read it and because it looks like chicken scratch or someone that is back at, you know, 3 years old taking a pen trying to write or somebody in kindergarten, it's very humorous the way the soul works with us. Once you get beyond that, pose a question. A problem or a question that you would like your familiar mind and then your intuitive mind to be able to work on and just start writing the answers with the opposite hand. That will help you. The last part to develop your intuition and become keenly aware of what it is and how it talks to you and the information it provides is follow your dreams. I encourage you to dream journal. Very important. Now, we don't remember our dreams every night. Some people don't. Some remember every detail about it. Journal your dreams, especially with the energy shifts we're going through right now, the expansion of consciousness that's taking place at this time. We are being asked by all the chaos around us to go within, look at who we are, know who we are, know how our intuition talks to us. How does it come forward in our dreams? Dreams give us a chance to do a lot of our emotional release work without having to have it in our daily wake-up time. Dreams are very important. They will tell you where you want to go and where you should not go. If you have vehicles in your dream, it's an indicator that you're moving forward. If you have water in your dream, it's telling you that what you're thinking and what you're looking at is fluid. It's bigger than what you see. So again, dream journaling, very important. There's a lot of dream journaling books. There's a lot of masterful people around dream journaling, but I'm going to give you the name of a book. It's called Dreams, and it's by Betty Bethard, B-E-T-H-A-R-D. Very simple, something you can go to, looks at the different symbols in your dreams and your numbers. Very exciting. It can tell you where you are right now. Your dreams can't, and it can tell you where you want to go. Embrace your intuition. Love it. It literally is your soul. Your intuition is your soul's voice. And if you can learn to listen to that voice, your life is going to be richer, your health is going to be better, and I will tell you, your next problem you're going to have is not that you can't figure out why you're stuck. You're going to have to go through that endless pool of possibilities. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. You can listen to my show if you want to a second time in the archives on Contact Talk Radio. I'm going to be back next Wednesday. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful intuitive day and allow it to flow.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.